commit ourselves to 7 o'clock, and we will make it happen. So welcome to everybody. Thank you for attending, and also Anna's son. How you doing? There you go. So I'm going to defer here to Linda and introducing Carrie to us.
Great. This is Carrie Barbaro. She is a member of our Historic Commission, and she's going to be filling the slot on the CAC Board Historic Commissioner, and she'll be officially appointed soon at the Planning Commission and the Council, but we invited her tonight so
Wonderful.
She can start getting engaged. And remember, the reason that we wanted to fill that slot is that Ted was no longer on the Historic Commission, and the slot that the Council approved had a Historic Commissioner in that seat. So we wanted to get somebody on board, and Carrie volunteered. Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks for having me.
So, welcome.
So we have some visitors with us. You just want to briefly introduce yourself? I know Tom and you before, but just maybe you can just give us your name and why you're here.
Sure. Serial number. Tom Boyatt. I manage engineering and transportation in the new Development and Public Works Department, and was the original owner of the downtown access and circulation project.
Great.
Tom Slocum, developer.
Okay. Tom's been with us before.
Mm-hmm. I'm Jeff Harriet. My wife and I own the Washburn Cafe, and I'm also on the Main Street committee.
Congratulations. I have not met you since Karen sold it.
Great. Neil Obringer from NEDCO.
Okay. And, thanks for being with us again, Neil.
And Mr. Sweetie.
Mr.?
No. From Sweetie.
Okay.
Right on the corner.
All right. Okay, so. Courtney, let's let you handle the. Everybody got a copy of this, I know.
John, can
yeah.
we just back up a second?
Yes.
We need to approve the minutes.
Okay, well, let's do the perfunctory
ask
stuff
for approval
first.
Minutes.
So you have seen the minutes. I hope you have read the minutes. So what I'd like to, if there's no changes or amendments, I'd like to have a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay, so move.
Okay, move by Ted. Shannon has seconded it. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Courtney. Well, first of all, let me just preface this. This is really a very interesting report. I was very impressed as to how this was laid out and the methodology and the findings. So I'm very interested in having you editorialize a little bit about it all.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So I'm Courtney Griesel. I am one of three people who are actually managing the project that has resulted in this. Christy Kruger, who is the managing engineer, has also done a significant amount of work on this, but for child care issues couldn't be here this evening. And then Mark Metzger has been a planner who's been helping us with some of the involvement in the stakeholder interviews. Brian Barnett is here today. He's our traffic engineer. He's aware of the project, has been talking with us about it, and also to sort of help me not have to pretend that I'm an engineer as we get into some of the details. What I want to say on the project is that this was something that when we first started into it, is this recommendation for a conversion from what is now one-way couplet system to two-way. It came out of that Crandall Rambula plan that you guys spent a lot of time on. And really our charge was to take that high level vision that Crandall had presented with your input and to assess it and try and understand the feasibility of doing just that in the near term and even long term. And so it wasn't necessarily to come up with a lot of great new ideas or to discount anything. Everything's possible, but it was to understand what possible looked like. And so we really got involved with Kittleson to talk about how do we interview some of the people that aren't the regular stakeholders, the people who are using the facility now and some of the developers in the area and owners of the facility like ODOT and LTD as a user and understand their needs on it now and in the long term. And then how do we actually take the principles, the characteristics, and the themes that Crandall identified and turn that into a road on paper? And what does that mean? And what things do we have to give and take on to make it work? So we found that as we got into it, and you heard from me once before on this, especially after those stakeholder interviews, that there was some disconnection between the stakeholders that we interviewed and then also their knowledge of all the planning and visioning that had gone into it. So we really worked with Kittleson afterwards to say both of these things are very important. The vision for what we want downtown is as important as how it's being used now and how it might need to be used in the future. And with that, what we came out with was, I'm going to roll it out because it's just easier sometimes to have it in front of us if we talk. What we ended up coming up with was some initial sketches of what right-of-way actually looks like when things start to move differently, going from one-way on Main and South A to two-way on both. And what Crandall's plan really talked about was the fact that you wanted it. We need a mobility street on South A to handle the large volumes of through traffic, and we want to keep the integrity of the smaller community street on Main. And they talk about in the plan the fact that really you can do that on Main without much right-of-way interference, and they're correct for the most part. Where we got into finding some of the hitches was when we tried to do the significant amount of infrastructure that they propose on South Bay. And so what we found was this actually doesn't get into dedicated bus rapid transit, which is one of the original recommendations. But the right-of-way, if you see, actually comes into the middle of this. This is the block between South A and Main. It actually moves into that middle block considerably. In order to get the transit through with the correct number of turn lanes and not backing traffic up. And we then moved forward with them and said, we need to understand, so we see what it looks like on paper. What does this mean in dollars and cents? Was kind of the question. And so they spent a couple weeks doing a high-level assessment of the cost, and about $9.5 to $10 million is what we heard. So at that point, we stopped. We kind of had a gut check internally, which was if that's the case, that doesn't. We don't know that that meets our actual feasibility test for right now. It's possible because we can make those turns work. We can make signals work. But it's not feasible for the amount of money that we have at the moment. What we also looked at was how much money we had spent to get to this point in the project. And we had done actually quite a good job getting what we think to be a lot of really good information at the front end of the project without a lot of costs. So of the $137,000 budget, we've spent just over $30,000, which gives a savings to the Urban Renewal District for other possible programs or projects. So moving forward, it's actually Kittleson's recommendation in this report to council that we look at using dollars at a smaller scale on other projects that get at the characteristics that we want without inhibiting the ability for us to do a conversion at a point in time where maybe there's that large a new employer that could trigger it or help us fund it or the precedent set. To, I don't know if we'd have to bond an issue like that. It would be a grants.
All of the above.
And so I think at this point what we're saying is we're getting a recommendation from a consultant that we're willing to pay more, and they're saying this is a waste. We don't want you to spend money on something right now that we think you could stop and look at in the future again if you need to. I think we want to heed that. So ultimately, our goal is to bring this to you and talk with you about it, tell you that it's not that we will not, we think 2A couldn't happen or shouldn't happen. It's that it may not be now. It's probably not now. We can't afford it now. And that what they did touch on a little bit in that report is the idea of the demonstration block as something that still gets at the characteristics of a more pedestrian-friendly and safe environment, something more business-friendly, getting at the bulb outs on the corners and the intersections possibly raised.
Are you just referring to Main Street when you're
They actually are talking about...
From Mill Street to...
They focused on a block, you know where U.S. Bank is? If this is an idea, they're not picking the block for us. I think they're saying you have to go out and do it, pick the right block. But for example, they said if you were to pick that block, you would actually be touching South A and Main. You wouldn't necessarily do a demonstration block without touching all four corners and making a road that's similar. I'm trying to see how I can... Yeah, there's an image in here on, it's figure four. They actually raised some really significant concerns with their feeling on South Bay and the pedestrian friendliness of it and safety of it, even as it is now. And so I think it was their recommendation that by choosing a block...
It was on the last page.
Yeah, very last page.
If you see... And this, they chose this in part because when they spent a lot of time out on South A, this was an area that they actually found to have quite high volumes of turning trucks and vehicles. And some of the widest points between crosswalks, between intersections and corners.
I want to make sure that everybody understands kind of the basic tenets of this. South A, you know, the infrastructure improvements there would be deferred because there's a significant cost there. But saying that, correct me if I'm wrong, the idea is having a contra lane for westbound trucks. So that would be part of South A. The rest of the vehicles would either have a chance to go eastbound on South A or divert to eastbound on Main Street. And now Main Street is, of course, just westbound right now. And that the two-way corridor there would be from Mill Street to 10th Street. I mean, that's, you know, the perfect configuration. And then, you know, the lighting and some, you know, intersection issues. But I think, you know, the basic footprint is, at least initially, the contra lane to handle the truck traffic, allow for two-way traffic, or the option of two-way for, you know, private vehicles, either if they're going to go straight eastbound or if they want to go downtown, they'll have that opportunity on Main Street from Mill to 10th. And then as things evolve, look at South A in terms of the five lanes and some significant infrastructure improvements there. Is that kind of, you know, a broad brushed approach to this, or am I missing something here?
Well, I think that your description of Main Street's spot on. I think the South A, maybe we can turn to a different figure.
Let's do that. Let's go to the South A part.
South A, if we look at figure two, which is a few sheets back from where you were at figure four, and I think that's what you have up there in the center of the table. This layout shows a BRT lane on the far south, two through lanes eastbound, left turn lane back to back for both fourth and fifth, or excuse me, south second and Parkway East, and then two westbound lanes and then a sidewalk. And so that's essentially six lanes. Then if we had a westbound BRT lane, that would be a seventh lane. And so the impacts are stacking up. So I think that's a little bit different than the five lanes that, John, you were describing.
Five, six, seven is significantly better than two. So I guess the question is that could we do the South A in terms of a contra lane before we started to do the rest of South A so that we could start experimenting with the Main Street two-way and deal with the truck traffic on the contra lane on South A, diverting that Main or 10th Street or wherever that 14th Street, wherever that natural point of diversion would be?
Well, yes, we could take the approach of add the contraflow lane in on South A. That gets the trucks off of Main, and then you're saying Main can go two-way. That reduces the impacts that's been described in Figure 2 on South A in terms of the property impacts and some of the construction costs. But you would have all of the construction costs on signal alteration.
Sure. Sure.
And go ahead.
Well, I think when we talked about that with Kittleson, it also got into when they started trying to figure out how you would route trucks back up onto the bridge, which was actually, the bridge had became a very important and kind of burdensome barrier to figure out how to get trucks back crossed over and up over the bridge, making turns that they could actually manage with the volume of traffic that you're trying to have. And that's where we found that we were struggling to figure out how exactly that would work and not just be delaying and creating a problem requiring an inevitable build to this point.
I mean, to do the contraflow lane, you'd have to build this crisscross pattern here on the,
okay,
the extreme west end.
But isn't that what Christie is the genius of doing? Kruger? I'm saying that with a smile on my face.
I'm sure you are.
She's a roundabout queen of the west, I think.
Right. Well, I mean, this configuration doesn't identify a roundabout, and I don't know that a roundabout would be a better or a worse solution, yeah. But this one's just showing a signal that would be a relatively simple two-phase signal. I think the larger question, though, is what are the property impacts and how far do we go down that road? Kittleson identified that a contraflow truck lane would be somewhat unusual, and we'd have some distinct necessity to communicate extremely well to the trucks where they need to be in order to accomplish the objectives. And maybe the more challenging part is on the eastern end. If you don't go clear out to 18th, where it's already a five-lane cross-section, if you bring them into the one-way couplet and then you're going to have to turn them south and then turn them west, that might be more of a geometric challenge.
Okay.
I'd like to offer there's one other issue, and it's a capacity issue on Main Street. So if you can imagine, I think that the peak flow is westbound in the morning.
Okay.
If you don't add capacity for vehicles on South A, then you're taking the volumes on Main Street that are currently consuming two lanes and asking all of that traffic, minus the truck,
one lane,
to go down to one lane, which is going to create a queuing situation,
yep,
just looking at the numbers. So that's and that's why it's almost impossible to consider Main Street without looking at South A. You don't want to turn South A into a bypass road, Main Street. At the same time, Main Street with one lane in each direction probably is going to have an operational challenge carrying the volumes in the morning, not so much in the afternoon if South A is still there. So they're sort of linked together in the ways that we've been thinking about.
Well, I just have additional questions, but I want to, you know, ask members of the committee in terms of observations, questions that you may individually have. This is the time to ask those questions.
My focus would be looking at the roundabout idea on the western part of Springfield and seeing if they can get more data in that direction.
Okay. So they spent some time looking at the roundabout out in that out towards 20th, that far out. Or I'm sorry, you're talking
west, towards the bridges.
We can talk, we can figure out, we can get some text, possibly, about why we went from a roundabout to an intersection on it. There was some initial conversation, and this was the route they ended up with. I think part of it just was that when we talked about the roundabout, moving it moved even farther into downtown, taking up more city blocks to accommodate the amount of space, but we can see if we can get some text on it. What I will say on this plan is that this was really sort of that engineering assessment of the recommendation. And so it's not necessarily a visioning plan. We asked Kittleson for their opinion, and we tried to kind of sideboard it as much as possible, but we asked for their opinion based on what was going to be most feasible, and this is what their expertise came up with. So we can see if we can get more narrative on some of those pieces.
On the demonstration block, I guess in my mind, we should be keeping in mind that we're all about overcoming blight and hopefully increasing the tax base for properties that are along Main Street or within our area. And so the block that they chose as a demonstration block, for traffic reasons, I understand why that was the most interesting or the most germane to look at. But if you look at the properties that are there, there's not going to be much upside to improving and making infrastructure improvements in that area. And the same might be true of where the Wildish is or anywhere where some real new and real recent investment has already happened. So if we do start to move towards a demonstration block concept, I think we should really look for an area where we think there's a lot of upside.
Right.
And not so much to get the most bang for our buck in terms of attracting developers, but with that constant eye towards the tax base that we're trying to build up.
Absolutely.
And,
good point. John?
So. Yeah, a little bit of follow-up with what Ted said. A demonstration block kind of makes sense as treating an entire block, but on Main Street it seems like that piece almost needs to go east and west another block or something to pick up three blocks or something, because everyone's driving along and all of a sudden, boom, you slow down, this event happens, and you hit the gas again. It seems like you almost have to create a pattern, establish something that gets you into a driving mode to slow you down, to look at businesses, and for that to really be effective.
We agree wholeheartedly. I think they were trying to put something on paper to
right.
sort of show what they're thinking.
Right.
The way we've really talked about this internally is that it's up to us with the community to decide where that is. Is that two parallel block faces, you know, two blocks long? Is it one, you know, when they actually drew that drawing, I said, that doesn't really make sense to me. It seems to me like you'd do a lot of what you're talking about, mirroring sides of the street and for a couple blocks. And they said, that's it too. It's what you guys determine that you want to accomplish, and whether you want to do it on a block with the Wildish or if we. And so I think a lot of that, and we've been talking with the Main Street organization, is who are the players and who are the community members that are interested in being in a partnership about with a program like that. And so it's ultimately, we'd be coming to you to say, where should this be? How do we talk about where it should be?
Well, with that in mind, another question. So if we use this, assuming that we're going to have less capacity than we need in terms of you know, the traffic in the morning going westbound, because now they only have one lane versus two lanes, can we use that contra truck lane for also you know, four-wheel vehicles, so that that lane could be split between trucks and some, you know, traffic could be diverted that way?
Well, I believe we could. I mean, from a technical perspective, we certainly could. If you were to do that, and if you were to have Main Street as two-way, mm-hmm. then you have the same number of lanes operating as you do presently, but you also have the constraint that in both cases, both South A and Main, those lanes now have to handle left turns as well as they do the through movements, whereas they didn't have to handle that left turn movement as well in the past. So as Tom pointed out, your capacity is cut when you do two-way on Main Street, and it's cut by more than half. It's, you know, maybe 40% of the capacity that you had before because of that loss due to the left turns.
Okay, but if
so, in other words, if you add South A in, you're not actually getting back to where you were even before.
But it's better than not.
Oh, clearly.
Yeah,
clearly.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Bob?
I'm going to go back to demonstration if I can. I didn't get to read all the report, but when we talk about the bulb outs and the pieces that we're going to do here, one of the things that I heard today at City Club was that let's try to find some green. Let's try to do something. And I know that we have traffic issues when we get too much, too high, and all that. But the possibility with the bulb outs and some of these things that they're talking about, can those be set up as landscape areas that are actually pieces that we beautify our downtown with, or other ways of doing that with pavers or other things that we can do.
Things
that we can do. Small artwork that could be a different, that changes the character of that. And then I would go along with, I wouldn't want to do that for a block. I would want us to be looking at doing five blocks of Main and looking at building upon some success there, because then you're really starting to slow down traffic. For a block, yeah, you might do, but I agree that most people just keep zooming through. But when your site is for four or five blocks, you're seeing this theme. You're going to pay attention and slow down a little bit, I think. So I would encourage just you look at that. So you try to do more than a...
I'm going to say yes, and all the traffic. I'm going to be like, oh, we have a out there, furniture, and all the traffic. We were like, oh.
Well,
but
and maybe
I think
it's
that
not,
is ultimately...
And maybe it's not the furniture where you're encouraging people to be in that spot, but you are doing something.
I think ultimately
if I may interject, you are actually asking people to be right there, because that's the pedestrian crossing, landing. So there's nothing wrong with having that green as long as we maintain an adequate sight line and we maintain it well. Yeah.
Would the precursor have to be the two-way on Main Street, or could we stage it by saying we'll do these,
I think all of these
interesting design opportunities without knowing that this is a way that we could start showcasing before we actually got into the two-way?
Oh, definitely.
I think that's what they're recommending is try these smaller in budget scale projects, get people understanding the appeal of downtown and the look that you want of downtown, and get them to change their habits now about how they drive that road. And then make sure that we do it in a way that would not require us to tear any of this up.
Because, in terms of momentum is a big deal. And what was interesting to me when they talked about the stakeholders and queried them, they thought that having more immediate improvements and, staging, the big heavy-duty infrastructure, two-way, contra lane stuff later would be better. Rather than try to put all our money in that basket and not have anything, happen in the meantime. They want to see some tangible, immediate, results. Shannon?
Businesses in that particular area right now feel, I'm sure, a false hit. They think that because there's a heavy amount of traffic that's in that area, that means the potential that they have of customers. That's not necessarily true of me owning a business in the Gateway Mall. This will kind of prove more of the true hits that they're getting, the true serious people that are wanting downtown versus the people that are just crossing and wasting their time. It's something that I know businesses don't like to hear, but they'll see the truth of who's really motivated to see the beauty of downtown as they're going through versus those that are just speeding by.
Right.
An argument, though, would be that you're making the place more pedestrian-friendly. A much more enjoyable place as a destination, so you might get more people from the surrounding neighborhoods that would want to come down. And
that's the true hit compared
business,
to a false
that
hit.
That would be the true hit from that. So I think there is an upside, but maybe it's.
Well,
I agree.
I've said this before, maybe just in private to Linda, but if you're going up to Portland, going through Portland, go take the Rosa Park exit off of I-5. That used to be Portland Avenue, I think, and go to Interstate Avenue. It's just one block over and Interstate, and then go up to North Denver neighborhood. The North Denver neighborhood, you'll see the big Paul Bunyan, statue there. I mean, it's very visible. They've used the pavers. They've, the way the parking, the aggregate, the difference. I mean, it's really interesting. And now it's starting to infill with businesses because like attracts like. But it's just spatially, it's a very, very eye-appealing. And I don't think it's all that expensive relative to some other things that could be done. Just, just an idea if you're going to be up in that part of the state. John?
Well, I was looking at their demonstration block on that last page, and I remember there was some discussion of... Yeah. before, there was some discussion about having, instead of long sweeping curves out from the sidewalk, that to be more squared off so that the cars would have to slow down and actually make more extreme, they have to slow way down to make the turn. I think that's what Portland does on some of their blocks, and I'm not suggesting we have to be Portland, but I noticed that in some cases they're kind of square on, say, 4th Street on by South A, but they're big around on Main and 4th at the north. I was just wondering, I don't know if you talked to Kittleson about the difference between those two kinds of, you know, big sweeping turns, which allow cars to go off the street and back onto the street at a fairly rapid rate. And if they're squarer, they have to stop and then slowly make that turn. So it slows the traffic down on Main Street substantially. So I don't know if you or Brian talked about that with the Kittleson.
We didn't. Staff. We went for the, sort of the larger about corner, partly to bring in the bring your crosswalk in closer.
Because you could square
and to create a little bit more surface space.
Yeah, he's talking
so instead of a big square thing, you could actually
the
make
the square them. Off when you get into it was it's a little bit supposed to be more rounded on the sketch on the west end of that South A block, but they start to square them when they're limited on right of way, and then when they know that the turn is only going to be one direction. Mm-hmm.
So let's have another couple of questions if you have them, and then let's go back to, so where do we go from here? So Annie, do you have anything, any comments, concerns?
We'll throw in the comment that I really like the idea of a longer expanse along Main instead of a square block. I'm just imagining going down there and like walking in a circle, like wanting to enjoy it and like walking around.
There,
yeah,
walking
going around and around as opposed to like walking down one side and walking back the other. I hope this isn't a naive question, but is it fair to assume that the current businesses downtown are interested in being a part of a demonstration block? And if so, I like the idea of more demonstration along Main and it being a reward for the businesses we do see coming in, or that exist, or the ones that are newly coming in. And not reward so much, but like, let's expand on what's already kind of happening in that core area. I like the idea of like about 3 blocks. I don't know if 5 is reasonable, but
depends on cost, I suppose.
Right.
And what the, but I mean, that's why we took it to sort of the Main Street group as mm-hmm. an idea first, to talk about their visions and the goals that they have for projects right now and how they actually really align with mm-hmm. the idea of the demonstration strips or,
yeah.
I shouldn't use like blocks, right? And so because there was sort of that interest and that immediate, like, mm-hmm. this is something we could partner on, it seemed like there was something that we should explore further and move forward with.
Mm-hmm. Can I add one last one?
Yeah.
Which is that, you know, when I do talk to other community members about this, I do feel like there's some antsiness, like, come on, we want to see some more, you guys. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea of... although it kind of hurts a little bit because I did get attached to the plan we approved. Moving forward with something like this soon and the big move can maybe wait a little bit at this point.
That's what
it's been a while.
The plan is really good and the concept is actually solid and holds mm-hmm. a lot of weight. I think what we're just finding out is what's the right timeline for it with our given budget.
Mm-hmm.
And so like you said, mm-hmm. it still is really good, but this might give us the ability to move forward with some projects.
Right. Yeah.
Well, let me just read here quickly from Jim Yarnell. I won't be able to attend because of another meeting. I've read the draft about the circulation study, find the alternatives analysis to be accurate, reasonable. I can support two-way on Main if extended to 14th Street with the eastbound traffic turning on South 14th to rejoin South A because 14th is a wider street that's already considered a major traffic couplet. Please express this option at the meeting for consideration. So I told him that I'd go ahead and read that in. So, at this point, it sounds like everybody understands, you know, the report has, the questions have been answered, at least at this juncture. They have agreed that probably this is not the front burner project because of, the staging issues and some of the opportunities associated with that. So the question becomes, where do we go from here?
On June 11th, Kittleson will actually be down for a 90-minute work session with council where they'll walk through kind of every detail of this as well as giving the background on how they got to the conclusions that they're proposing in this. And so I think that's a great place to start with, and council will then understand sort of based on their professional opinions where we're at on it. From there, it's a matter of really talking with council and finding their interests, knowing your interests, and possibly the Main Street Committee and organization's interests in pursuing the demonstration block or stretch concept, and seeing if that's kind of the new priority for how we handle transportation downtown.
So are one or more of us invited to that study session?
You are all invited to that work session.
Okay, I'm going to be out of town, but is there anybody here that can go to represent the committee?
When is it?
June 11th. Bob, you can? Good.
I'd love to be.
Yeah, but I think it would be important for us to list three or four priorities of our priorities for the council to hear as they're hearing the Kittleson information, whether or not that's read by Shannon or me or John or whomever, even if it's just a written piece of information, so that they know that we can move forward with this, but with this our priorities are still this, this, and this, whether it's the tax base growing or whatever it is. So,
and I think we could coordinate on that and actually get that into there. I think the best way to do that would be for us to coordinate and get that into the packet that goes to them so they have it all in hand.
Yeah. And then we can be a fuller voice later on, but at least to let them know that we're tracking it and we have some initial
opinions.
One
of those might be that demonstration, project,
Yeah.
So we want it not one block, we want three blocks.
I think it's very fair to estimate that we might have a similar statement coming in from Main Street in support of the demonstration block concept. So talk about a loud voice, that could be it. The one caveat to work sessions are that they're not public sessions, and since we love you to come in and hear what we're hearing, but it's kind of a closed discussion.
They're public, but you're not allowed to speak.
Right.
So sometimes,
unless they ask you questions.
Sometimes they ask. So if they see you in the room and you introduce, they usually, they'd like to, what do you think of that?
So saying that, Bob can attend. Anybody else that can make it? Shannon? Ed?
I can.
Okay.
Maybe I should put out a pitch. The designer that worked on this, Brian Ray from Kittleson, works all over the country. He's very well regarded, and he knows this business quite well, and it's kind of a treat to watch him work. So, I think it would not be wasted time.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I make a request then? With that, is there a possibility that work session could be in this room instead of in the Jesse Main room?
Yeah, I'll talk with.
Because it is very confining in there for any public to be there to hear the stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have a comment, I am new at this meeting, so I'm not sure if it's been discussed in the past, but one thing, I don't know if at any point I would suggest including input from the neighborhood communities that are adjacent to the downtown. I don't know if I didn't see that any of them were stakeholders in the interviews, but being there so close, the Washburn neighborhood, but, other residential neighborhoods near the downtown, because obviously those people are coming and going, pedestrians, they're shopping, they're eating, and I think to bring some of those people in, really you're going to build consensus for the project, and without that inclusion, they're going to feel like, hey, nobody talked to us about it, why weren't we involved, nobody came to approach us and invite us to get our input, so just a suggestion.
Would you remind me, did we have a Washburn resident?
We have a Washburn Neighborhood Association and a very currently very active president.
And did we have representation on this committee? I was like, that's you.
That's
right?
Me. Yeah.
Okay. I'm like, I'm pretty sure.
And we do, but there's a lot more voices.
But were you interviewed as a stakeholder for this?
No. So
that's what Carrie's saying.
Yeah, and when we did the down to the Crandall plan, and that's where we can revisit the idea to some extent after. I think it's a great idea as we move forward with the new ideas.
And not just the Washburn district, but
just kind of all of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it just dawned on me, I thought,
So did you talk about us? Did you talk about this at the neighborhood?
Is there anything in here about cost estimates for demonstration block?
No.
Projects?
And part of
that would be good to know how much
it would be. Part of that's because it wasn't in the scope of the work that we asked them to assess. It was kind of a bonus they threw on there, which was. And it's probably what Tom talks about. He gets very excited about these projects, and Brian is it's just amazing, and I think they just sort of thought that this was a great option. So that's really why at the closing of this, while we have this idea, we'll have to go into that next process of defining what that idea really means. And that's where I think you kind of hit it on the head, which is how do we also talk about the residents and make sure that we're making those lateral connections.
I think there were some numbers in the Crandall in the implementation plan for a demonstration block. So I didn't know if they were on target or not. It'd just be nice to know like what we're talking about in dollars.
I think it's what we want to make of it. If we decide we wanted to do pole vaults only, it's different than if we want to do pole vaults and raised intersections or crosswalks. And if we wanted to do lighting only, it's figuring out what that means as a community.
Well, I'll write a letter to the city council since I can't be here, but essentially what I want to share with them is if you go back in time, just look at what we've accomplished to date. I mean, we've got, you know, Crandall Arambula, I mean, wonderful study with people that know how to and have proven results that's been articulated, that's been accepted, that's been vetted, and pretty much, you know, wow, this is great, you know, a great, not just concept, but this is doable. And then this Kettleson, and very impressive, and the fact that we had $135,000 allocated, we've only used $35,000, so that's what I call a really judicious use of funds. So I think we've got significant momentum at this point, and if we can come up with, you know, things that we think are on the list prior to the, you know, infrastructure issues as far as the roadways, knowing that that still is an important component, because Crandall Arambula, remember, said that everything is keyed to the two-way on Main Street. So I think ultimately we're going to have to address that, and this is, I think, really a wonderful way to, you know, stage it. So any more that we want to talk about here before we get into some Main Street reports? Yeah.
My only thought is I feel that the Main Street bulb outs are probably one of the first features that we would want to work on, because it also relates to the parking issues.
Okay. All right.
I think the other part is that if you're sort of that keeping momentum and keeping things in motion, it's also something that I think will help the businesses that are near those corners and like pedestrian access and people to be in that area. So it's a little more space for them. So it may not be the solution that we have for a lot of things, but it keeps building towards where you want to have successful businesses down there, and then they become more successful as you build to the next level of project.
But maybe they'll stop them you know, long enough to have a yogurt from
right.
Yeah. Sweet shop.
So we have to do something to show that we're serious about this. Yeah. You know, I think we need to get something started.
The bull vaults also allows us to figure out the parking spaces to allow us, where would you put lighting at?
Okay, so we're going to, I guess, Linda, we need to talk about, you know, how we want to present ourselves to this works, you know, session that the council's going to have, and the projects that we think are the ones that are going to have the most immediate impact. We've already reviewed these, and I think you probably understand how those are going to fall in place. Mm-hmm. So let's go to the Main Street reports now, kind of up to date there. JT, is that you, or whom is?
It's going to be Neil.
Probably Neil.
Four committee members.
Yeah, Netco.
All right.
Come on, Neil.
Netco.
All right. So I guess I'll go ahead and just start with a brief update on where each of the committees is at, and then basically answer questions if they're relevant. So the design committee project right now is probably the one that's most exciting and of most relevance to this group right now. As you probably all know, they were allocated $25,000 of CDBG funds to implement a downtown facade improvement program. And so they have been working diligently. The design committee is broken out into two subcommittees, one working on the creation of a program structure and program content, the second subcommittee working on creation of design guidelines to actually support the implementation of the program. Linda and Ted are both involved in the design guideline process, and we've got drafts of both right now, and with the goal of being to actually have the program ready to roll out by July 1st when funds become available. So hopefully we'll have more concrete examples of the work product in the future, but things are going along well there. In terms of other committee updates, the promotion committee is working on implementing a downtown discount card program to basically draw and entice folks to shop in the downtown. And then in addition, the Economic Restructuring Committee, which Courtney is the chair of, we're just beginning to finalize our work plan for the new year and focusing primarily on reviewing and updating the database and inventory of buildings and businesses in the downtown, discussions of a block captain or business assistance program in the downtown.
And the creation of an annual business survey, less about the structure of the building, more about the health of the business.
Correct, yeah, thank you.
And then moving into recruitment.
Yeah, that's one of the things the committee members are most excited about right now is kind of
actually doing something.
Business recruitment?
Actually going out and, mm-hmm. and recruiting individual businesses to fill storefronts.
Cool.
The organization committee, actually, Jeff Harriet there, co-owner of the Washburn Cafe, is our new co-chair, and it's been brought a lot of life and energy to the organization committee along with Dan Egan, and been meeting regularly and looking at how do we draw additional funds to the Main Street program to actually go out and do some projects. One of the other exciting recent events also is last month we had the quarterly mixer for the downtown and invited the new owner of the store that will soon fill the Oddfellows old Ruthie B's building.
Who is that?
His name is Bart Caridio, and he'll be opening a brew pub, hopefully a brew pub. Called Planktown.
September.
And so, yeah, if you were
in the old Oddfellows building,
96 people.
Going to be way cool.
Families till 8 o'clock.
Correct.
Music until
11.
Jackson
Fiddle
from
yeah.
Cottage Grove.
And Sam Bond's Garage.
Yeah. Oscar always has his birthday at Sam Bond's
Garage. We have Sam Bond's Garage.
You can do it at Planktown now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
He recently got involved with Sam Bond's Garage 7 years ago.
Plank House. Yeah. Right, I know. Is it Planktown or Plank House?
I've heard it. Huge.
It is. Okay. They got it wrong. They got it wrong on K-Val.
They call it Plankton or something?
They call it Plank House. Oh, repeatedly.
It's definitely Planktown. And he's got a draft at the website. You know,
it's Springfield's old nickname.
It's so great.
Downtown's old nickname, right?
Yeah. I love it.
And I love that they're going to like do cedar plank tables and stuff and really like draw on the history. It's very exciting.
Smart direction.
I can walk there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big
wait a minute. It's
too.
Only two blocks from the office.
I don't know. About 6,000 square feet.
Yeah. Is he connected with the guy that does the tables that's business out on Main Street?
The Urban Lumber?
Yeah.
Not that I've heard, no.
I thought it'd be neat if we could. I know they're opening a store in downtown Eugene. Too bad we didn't get them. Because they have their facility.
They're always bringing in wood, so it's always available.
Locations.
Yeah.
I just bought a big slab of redwood.
I love their stuff.
For a table.
We just took a log, that tree that we dropped down there, and made them cut pieces for a bench.
Okay.
But... Yeah.
So the only other less exciting update that I have was that the State Main Street program recently did a program review of the Springfield Main Street program. She came down with, the state coordinator came down with a consultant from Portland who specializes in economic development and basically looked at what all the committees are doing, looked at some of the challenges and activities that are going on specifically in the downtown, and really I think provided a nice template for a work plan and some additional action items that each of the committees can take into account when doing their work this next year. But primarily the message was that we've got the foundation for some really cool things downtown, and that there's a lot of energy and a lot of momentum moving forward, and it's just a matter of, you know, really continuing to move forward, taking action on a lot of the things that we're already moving forward with. They mentioned the facade improvement program was perfect for the stage that we're at right now. They're excited to hear about the building moving into the business moving into the Oddfellows building, and that we really have the basis for kind of an arts and culture district in a lot of ways between the museum, the Emerald Art Center, A3, the Wildish, all of the fabric and craft related businesses in the downtown, the Art Walk, Farmers Market. There's really the foundation for some really interesting things.
So with that Farmers Market in mind, so how is Sprout doing right now? Isn't that?
It's moving forward. I think the permits were just, applications were just submitted. From what I hear, we're nearing the end of the design and construction design phase, and I think we're actually going to be doing some real construction here in the near future.
Speaking of wood, those 10-foot benches are being sold for $100 a bench.
In the church? The pews?
Yeah.
Never know when you
what kind of wood are they?
I don't know. I'm not sure what kind of wood.
Well, since now I own the 7,000 square foot house.
I'm sure some kind of
Douglas fir.
But I know that the Springfield Rotary Club is got a project Saturday, which is unbolting those pews from the floor and preparing to sell them.
They're made out of Doug fir. I can't remember what they quite look like.
They look like Doug fir. I don't know if
they
are or not, for sure.
You don't want pews?
They're probably from about the 1940s, I think.
I guess so.
Keep a couple.
Can always find a way. Always find a way to use pews.
Well, we just bought the Church of the Brethren, the 21st Street house. That's 7,000 square feet, so we were amusingly thinking in.
Well, if you want to get people to sit along Main Street, you know, plant a few shady trees, you know, give them a pew.
Plenty of seating here.
The plank.
Thank you, ma'am.
Now I'm confused. Plank town folks might be interested in it.
Now, is this going to be a brew pub or just a pub?
They're going to brew beer there.
Yeah. Wow. Eventually.
Two phase, so when they initially open, they won't be brewing on site, but they'll be working. It's the second phase.
They've already hired the brewmasters.
Yeah.
They had a separate place to brew for the three different.
I think that's
That's another one they're doing.
I see.
I think they've got kind of two business plans working forward, but. They want to try, and my understanding was they want to try on-site first to kind of get it right, and then once they move off-site, they have to move into all of the manufacturing and distributing components of the OLCC process that's a little bit more ramped up.
So what kind of success are they having in terms of recruiting now that we've got more momentum than we had before in terms of, you know, Sprout, Medco's involvement, the brewpub, the...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there is a direct connection, but I mean, I feel like, and it may just be spring as well, but there's looks like a new business moving into the old Chilitas building. Vino and Van Gogh, which was one of our hatchlings, is moving into a vacant storefront two doors down. I mean, I'm getting, I think, more calls than I have in the past, so.
JT?
There's at least two businesses I know that are in Eugene that want to relocate to Springfield, and they both indicated they would like to be in the downtown somehow. It's a little hard to find the space that they require because they also want parking. So in some places that's really hard. We've got some buildings that are the right size, but no parking nearby. No public parking, just a little bit of on-street parking, and that's very hard for them. So but we're looking.
I think from the city's perspective, what we're finding is that the same number of people might be coming in, but we have more to talk to them about and encourage them with, and to show that downtown, that downtown's now the city's priority, and it is also in partnership with a lot of very grassroots and supportive organizations.
And I just heard someone said that they're interested in downtown, especially because the city reduced the SDCs in the downtown to a level that allows them to get their business in, at least till the end of this year. So there's more interest in that side. And on another note, perhaps Courtney might talk about wayfinding in just a minute, but as part of the Sustainable Cities Year, I did a presentation at the depot for a bunch of people from DEQ, EPA, and a number of engineering firms that work on environmental issues, and talked to them about Booth Kelly, and then we walked over and we did the tour and talked to them about a couple of things in Glenwood, but they said there's potential funds that could help us do additional improvements to Booth Kelly to clean it up and get another assessment. The last one was done in the 1980s. Rules are different, more complex, and so that's a potential source of funds that we haven't been able to tap into. We've tried in the past, but not been able to get any traction the last 8 or 9 years. And so I may go up to Portland in June and do a similar presentation to a larger group and maybe expand the opportunities that we have in the downtown for that side of the tracks.
So the old Don Carter building where the Justice Center used to be, is that owned by the city now?
That's owned by the city. We're still paying on Don's, on the payments to Don over a period of time. And we are actually looking, we toured some people last Thursday, and I think tomorrow, if I get a chance, I'll bring someone else through that building. So it's at almost 8,000 square feet on the ground floor, and you can chop it up into some smaller spaces. So it's right next to Sprout. The back door opens out.
It's very nicely maintained.
It's pretty well maintained. It would be very easy to convert it to a whole number of uses. It has a court. And has it has a bunch of pews too. They're not as nice as the ones in the church, nor as old, but they're in reasonable shape.
So we wouldn't be thinking about doing any demolition there to create more parking.
Not more parking.
If I can convince Courtney not to lease parking to city employees, I think we have more spaces. But
there you go, Courtney.
We want our parking.
It's interesting. I had an interesting visit with Alan Evans, and I didn't realize that he was kind of in partnership with Silva Chambers. So we were talking about, you know, some Springfield. He's not totally happy with Eugene at this juncture in terms of some of the issues that they have as far as paralysis and analysis. So, well, that's exciting. Any additional questions relative to the downtown committee reports?
Did you mention about the school as well, expanding down in
across
from the bank?
If I might.
Okay, there's a possibility.
Though it's not inked yet, there's potential for the property owners to lease the last two portions of the building that is west of the Silver Lace Club. And if that occurs,
that the old pool hall,
and there's a little couple of somebody's
Pee-wee's
Playhouse. Thank you in the
Hello.
Front. And so it's a lot of fun.
Hello.
Formerly kept for the mustard.
A big mouth on it. And some interesting things. That would probably go out, and then an expansion of A3 would go in there. They announced that they were looking for students that are interested in life sciences and mathematics, and so that's the focus they've got. They said 45 to 75 students. If they get to 75 students in 2 years, they'd be very happy, and that may mean that that would mean that Silver Lace goes out, and that building gets fixed up or changed, and they may be able to expand into that space in year two or three. But we're looking at facade improvements on Main and 4th Street that would change it dramatically. And I'm going to council probably in June to see if the Urban Renewal Agency to see if they might fund the cleanup of the facade of the Silver Lace Club, so, because that was done on a weekend without their knowledge, the owner's knowledge, so that would be cleaned off also.
They are advertising publicly for student positions, just to kind of
show
how close the ink
is. It was in the paper a while back, and so they've got...
there's been commercials on television.
And they've got a lot of interest, and people are saying, which one would you like to go into, A3 or this one? And from both cities and Pleasant Hill and other places, they're saying, I don't care. I want to get into one of these.
Yeah.
But I like this one, because this was just been, once this was announced, there was a lot of people going into that one. So there's a lot of interest in that. So.
Okay, so let's move to any other announcements, Linda, Courtney, before we go setting the next meeting agenda.
I've got just one other announcement. So over at the Booth Kelly Mill site on summer solstice, we're having the Springfield Summer Solstice Dash and Bash. Includes a 5K from Mill Booth Kelly to Doris and back. So if you're training for the Butte, you got to go over the hill twice.
You say dash and bash. Is this like a mud run or something?
No, we just got the dash, which is the 5K.
The bash. I'm like,
the bash is the party.
Oh.
Afterwards, with Amy Clausen.
No people saying.
Yeah, party. Dash, there's going to be beer there. There will be food. They're not.
Beer.
What's her face? The pump is catering, but they're going to have Hop Valley and other beer. There's going to be games for kids. And there's going to be Amy Clausen on stage in the crane shed. We're bringing our Willamette Line stage. Free to the public, all but the run. The run is actually cheaper for Springfield residents than it is for Eugene residents. We knock $5 off. Kids under 10 run for free. You can
What's
walk.
What's the date of that again?
Summer solstice, June 20th. Longest day of the year. And as long as I'm superintendent, we're going to have a summer solstice run.
There you
so
go.
Don't know if it'll always be there, but right now we just thought it would be a great way to showcase downtown and with the Mill Race Project nearing completion, in the future it'll even be cooler.
That's what I was going to ask.
It will be cooler.
When is the restoration project going to be open to the public?
Right.
And when are you going to open up the,
I'm not
the flow?
Is
it this year? Is it next year?
They're
going to
open the flow this year.
Yeah.
This summer, I think. Late summer, they should open the flow.
Yeah, early fall, I think they need temperatures to cool slightly and get a little bit more water in the runs, and then their intent is to open it.
Yeah.
I think that if actually that could be a great, we could have Fischweiler come in and do a really solid update of all that, because there's a whole lot of moving parts, but it's on track. And I don't know that anybody in the room could answer that distinctly, other than to say that we know that we'll be talking about water in fall, early fall. Yeah,
neat.
They just planted 45,000 plants out there.
Yeah. And then you had that big snow.
I have one odd, thing that I'll share. Tomorrow at 4:30, from 4:30 to 6:30 at Royal Caribbean, we're going to have kind of a big bash as our
bash.
And now you know. Now you got it.
My word for the day. For our, what we're calling our Sustainable City Year End of Year Celebration. So all of the 15 topics that we've been working with students on are kind of culminating tomorrow at 4:30.
Wayfinding?
Yeah, Wayfinding.
Wayfinding is one of those projects in downtown. So there will be students there summarizing all the work. You'll see images of every project done on every topic throughout the year. There will be food from local organic farms and Hop Valley there, serving beer and wine, although it is no host on that portion. But it does get you into Royal Caribbean, which is kind of fun because that's sort of like Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. Nobody gets to go in there.
Evening?
4:30. So we'd love to have you kind of peruse all that's been done and listen to students and ask great questions.
It's a great setting for that, too.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
And the Wayfinding class wants to come back to talk to the committee again sometime in June. So
that'll be their wrap-up. That'll probably be them pretty much summarizing what they've done. The other part that we're talking about right now is we're continuing the partnership with U of O likely into next year. And so our ask of not those specific students, as they'll be moving on to great things, but from students in the next round of courses or in different principles, is how do we take now what those students have done with wayfinding and move it into actual design and implementation of the recommendations and get some of those signs in the ground and at the right places and looking lovely as opposed to boring.
Well, trying to coordinate a meeting in June may be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that it would be better position to try, July if we, need to have a summer meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the students.
My June is pretty.
Difference will probably be the students giving you the summary versus Linda and I giving it to you in July. The students will all, as dedicated as they are, they will graduate or they will end their final and they will be out of town as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
So they don't need input still? I thought they still wanted input.
I have to look at my notes. I think what they have is they're going to have a survey that we'll be sending to you probably before that.
Maybe there's one student left.
Yeah.
Huh?
Maybe there's one student.
If there's one, and I found that when they are, we can get them. But I just also don't hold my breath.
But isn't there one student or two that might be doing a summary of
the report?
The report for all the
SLI. I got to be honest. I've got about 30 courses right now. I'm trying to keep straight in my head.
Yeah.
And We're not doing reports on all of them. So I feel a little bit like this class actually isn't doing a consolidated report because they're working as a single group.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so what they give us is their consolidated report.
Well, why don't you check it out, and then let's look at maybe some July dates and, run it by.
We can pitch it to them. See who we can get to stay.
Because they end around June 8th.
So we're not considering these dates?
I can tell you that June 13th and 14th I can't do, but maybe Courtney could run the meeting for
me. I'm out of the country.
Because I'm going to go that brownfield thing.
June 17th.
I can't do June.
Is that the one
June.
In Portland?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got a scholarship
for that.
To go to it.
That's the one JT's talking about.
I'll just throw it out there. I'm out of the country from June 17th to July 20th.
I'm going to be past 18.
I want to go.
That's perfect.
So maybe, okay. It's a non-issue if we can get, hopefully, one of the students.
Sure. Okay. Can I just ask a question about meeting day of the week? I know we settled on Thursdays for various people's schedules. Is that still the best meeting day of the week?
For me, it works well.
It works. You don't have board meetings on Thursdays, right?
No, just Wednesdays.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order? Okay, we're adjourned.
Okay, great.